The Pat Kenny Show
with Timber Living Log Cabins.
Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. on News Talk. Conversation that counts.
It's the turn of women's football at Croke Park today when Kerry and Galway face off in the senior final. In the intermediate final, it'll be Fermanagh versus Roscommon, and in the junior, Carlow versus Antrim. But behind all of this, off the pitch, there's a growing crisis in the men's and women's games, and that is the exodus of star players to Australia to play in professional AFL games there. The imminent departure of Kobe McDonald from Mayo, a star of that All-Ireland winning team, has highlighted the issue more than before. It's believed that the GAA and the Australian Football League have reportedly held discussions about introducing measures to limit the number of players departing Ireland for Aussie rules. According to a report on the AFL's official website, the GAA has flagged different rules to limit the best young talents being poached by AFL clubs. And that measure might include capping the number of players that can be signed from each county. For more on today's games and on that topic, I'm joined now by former Waterford footballer Michelle Ryan. Michelle, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
You're heading to Croke Park.
I am. I'm getting ready to cross the road here now and work on the three games. Looking forward to them. Chance for three teams in all three finals to make history, because there's been a wait of, I think it's 22 years for Galway in the senior, 25 years for Roscommon in the intermediate, and Carlow have never won an All-Ireland final. So yeah, looking forward to the three games.
And I suppose all of those underdogs will be taking some inspiration from Mayo last week.
Oh, you would imagine so, wouldn't you? That's exactly it. I suppose it goes to show that the hard work, perseverance pays off. Now, I know they had a bit of a wait. 75 years is quite a long wait and a lot of perseverance. But without a shadow of a doubt, it's what's great about sport, isn't it? That it brings those memories, and sport teaches us all massive lessons in life with regards to hard work and commitment. There's always tougher days in sport unless you're on a really successful team than there are good days. But days like last Sunday in Croke Park just highlight, I suppose, how important sport is and the joy that can be received for all the hard work the players put in at the end of the day.
Now, you played for what, almost two decades at the top level?
I played for Waterford for 19 seasons, Pat. Yeah, I suppose, look, I grew up with the sport in my family. My dad was actually involved in coaching and managing the Waterford ladies football since I was about 10 months. I think I was 10 months when I was a mascot for Waterford in the 1986 Junior All-Ireland. It was actually the first ladies football All-Ireland that was played in Croke Park, which is 40 years ago now. You could say I've grown up with it. I played for quite a long time at Waterford. Mixed results, in the sense that I was a mascot during the golden era of the 90s. When I started playing then, we went through a tough patch. We were relegated to intermediate, but we came back up to senior after the intermediate win in 2015 and have been senior. And I suppose since, and in fairness to the girls, they've really been putting it up to the top teams in the country the last few years.
So who are you calling it for in the senior game today?
You know what? It's a tough one. And actually, most people I'm talking to in the last week have been tipping Galway, even though Kerry are the All-Ireland champions of 2 years ago. It was the same contest 2 years ago, Kerry versus Galway. It wasn't quite the competitive match that people were expecting at the time. And the writing was on the wall at halftime that Kerry were ahead. And after 45 minutes, they got a second goal, and that kind of put an end to the contest. Most people, I think all people really, are expecting a much tighter contest this year. Without a shadow of a doubt, we have the two best teams in the final. To be fair, they've probably had a relatively easy path to the final. Over the All-Ireland series, both of them have been winning games by 10, 12, 17, 18 points. I think Kerry are the only ones who have been tested, really, and they were tested in the Munster campaign by Waterford. But this should be the ultimate test of both teams. I mean, Pat, you're talking about top-class players here now on both sides. The likes of Sheafer O'Shea, the leader of the pack for Kerry, but she's well, I suppose, abled by the likes of Danielle O'Leary, Niamh Carmody, Mary O'Connell in the middle of the field, not to mind the excellent defenders they have. And then you're talking about the Galway contingent. The Galway club, Kilkerran Clonburn, has won the last five All-Ireland club titles. They are in a very impressive outfit, and they just haven't managed to transfer that onto the county scene. They've been thereabouts for a long time. They were well ahead in the league final early on the year versus Cork and let it slip at the very, very end. So the question is, with regards to Galway, even though they absolutely have the quality, do they have that mentality and grit to see out the game?
Well, I'm looking forward to that. That's at, I think, throw-in is at 4:15 this afternoon. But the reason we also wanted to talk to you, Michelle, is because you've been talking about the exodus of all-star quality players to Australia for quite some time. It's become a focus because of Kobe last week being in the All-Ireland winning team for Mayo and heading off immediately having starred in that game. How vast is the exodus of players?
You're absolutely right, Pat. It has become a talking point in the last week. We all have seen the talent that Kobe McDonald is and has been for Mayo throughout the year. But to be honest, this is something that has been impacting ladies football for quite a number of years. There is a lot of us talking about it this year because there seems to be a noticeable difference in maybe the quality of matches that we're getting. And that has to be down to the fact that we have so many top quality players not playing our game. You're talking about there's 10 senior All-Ireland winners currently in Australia. 9 of them are All-Stars. And some teams don't have necessarily the depth as other teams. And it has had a massive impact on the players that they're able to pick from. And therefore, I suppose, the success of that team.
Sure, but also role models. I mean, if your top star vanishes to Australia, those aspiring to play the game at the top level, you know, you can't be it if you don't see it.
And that's, I think that's exactly what's bothering a lot of us that are here kind of watching that, because we have been so proud of ladies football and where it has come from and where it has gotten to in terms of attraction and people getting invested in it. And maybe during those years when the men's football was probably not the best of spectacles, a lot of people were talking about the quality that is there in ladies football. Now, at this time, you have girls and boys watching teams over the last number of years, and they're trying to emulate these incredible ladies footballers that they're seeing. And now what's happening is those players are disappearing. And therefore, you know, maybe the star that they were following or the person they were trying to emulate is gone. And does that affect their interest in it? Do we now have young girls as well? And their ambition is, when they're playing in their teenage years, to actually go to Australia rather than to play for their inter-county team here in Ireland. And that's a massive, massive, I suppose, crisis within our own ranks here, that if we are creating the talent, we have incredible athletes in ladies football right throughout the country. We are creating the talent and we are effectively handing them over. Like these Irish players are in Australia, Pat. They are having a massive impact over there. There's 46, I think, Irish players on the current AFLW list. 8 of them have won premierships there. 9 of them have won, I think, the equivalent of All-Stars over there. So they are huge stars over there. So no wonder that they're attractive.
Now,
need to protect our game.
Yeah, how do you protect it? Because, I mean, for anyone who enjoys playing football and then the chance to actually do that for a living rather than do it as a pastime, even though, you know, you guys are such high quality athletes that you have to do a huge amount of training, almost the equivalent of the professional game, but you don't get paid. So you can understand someone aspiring to go and keep doing what they do, a different code, but, you know, the game of football, and get paid.
And you know what, Pat? None of us, I think, would have any issue with the players themselves, or put any blame or fault on them. If you're in your 20s or early 20s and the opportunity comes to change your lifestyle, go to the other side of the world and live for a while as a professional athlete, I mean, how could you realistically say no? So we understand the attraction. We understand the why players are going. But I think the key thing is, and now that the GAA have opened talks with the AFL, the ladies football have to jump on board with this. This should be a two-pronged approach by the GAA and the ladies football to enter into negotiations. Do I think that paying players here is the solution? To be honest, I don't. Because at the end of the day, yes, they're getting to live as professional players. But from talking to some of the players themselves, a lot of the attraction is the lifestyle and the adventure of it all.
Sure.
You know, they're not all wanting to go over there and maybe uproot their lives and stay in Australia for the rest of their life.
Yeah. I mean, we see it in the professions. You know, you get young doctors, young nurses, young veterinarians, all heading off for a sample of a different kind of life.
And that's it exactly. So maybe the answer is in, right, they talked about limiting the number of players. Could there be a case that you create from those of us who've been talking about it recently, maybe one Irish club over there, and the players who are going over can only go and play with that one Irish club, and that reduces maybe the amount that are going over. Because, Pat, I mentioned that there's 46 on the books this year. There was 39 last year. In 2022, there is 19. So there's only going to be more and more by the looks of it going over. So if there was one single Irish club that they were all going over to, I don't think you're ever going to stop people going. But maybe if there is a limitation on those that are leaving. And the other thing is, 3 years ago, it came in that there was an increase in pay for the players. Obviously, that's more attractive. But part of that was that there was 12-month contracts. Now, there's the AFLW season runs from 10 to 12 weeks. There's a huge amount of weeks there that isn't in season.
Yeah.
So, you know, could the Irish players be not have necessarily a 12-month contract and be released for a portion of the year? Now, the only reason that mightn't work is the AFLW season has changed. In that originally when the likes of Cor Saunton was going over 9 years ago, it was played during our winter period. It is now starting next week at the end of August, which then puts ladies footballers in Ireland in a difficult situation to make difficult decisions here. And I think it's been too tough to travel over and back. So a lot of them have opted to just stay in Australia in the last 12 months. Yeah. And that's what's happening.
Well, I can recall those of us old enough to recall Kevin Moran, who was playing for Manchester United and came home to play for the Dubs when he wasn't needed by Manchester United. I'm not sure they were best pleased with the prospect of being injured in Croke Park, but there you go. It did happen. As some of the comments come in, not many supporting control. Irish people have been travelling to Australia for decades. They're choosing a lifestyle. How can you ban Irish women and men from choosing a lifestyle and additionally to play professional sport? You cannot demand players to change their lives just because it doesn't suit the rest of us. Another one, this is ridiculous. The GAA daring to tell anyone that they can't offer well-played employment to young Irish athletes. The cheek. And another one, so what if players decide to switch to Australian rules? You can't stop anyone in a free country from pursuing money. It's an opportunity for a new person then to step in and fill those boots. That's from TJ in Cork. In other words, the star goes, let's create another star. Michelle?
Easier said than done, I would say, Pat, as well. As I said, the ladies game was in a good place, but it still needs to grow significantly. You're still only talking about 12 senior teams in the Senior Ladies Football Championship. And for some of those teams and panels, I suppose the quality and the where they've achieved in the championship has significantly decreased because of the loss of some of these players. If you look at, I suppose, Mayo have been massively depleted, Tipperary have been massively depleted. They don't have the same level of numbers in clubs that you would have in the likes of Dublin and Cork and the Galway and so sure. on. And look, I'm not saying nobody should be allowed to go to Australia. Like I said, I fully understand the attraction. I would find it hard to see myself how someone would say no to that. But there's definitely top quality players here who have been offered and who are not actually taking that offer. They want to stay here for whatever reason or another. I'm just saying, is there a way that these two associations can work better together so that we're not here in another few years going, ladies football is on the decline? And I think that's the danger based on what we've seen in the last few months in the championship.
Well, Michelle, you've certainly prompted a lively discussion among our texters. There are so many texts coming in. But for the moment, I must thank you very much, Michelle. It's great to have you on the show. Michelle Ryan heading to Croker. Enjoy the games, Michelle.
The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Timber Living Log Cabins.